think the district is very underexplored. Newfoundland is consistently a top 10 ranked jurisdiction by the Fraser Institute. We've put together what we think is the optimal foundation for exploration success, non-dilutive capital, the top scientists in the world to include Dr. Harold Gibson, a leading global VMS expert, outstanding corporate governance, and of course, excellent geology. In total, these five deposits yielded about 16 million tons. In addition to the copper, the zinc, and the lead, these deposits also produced about 700,000 ounces of gold and over 60 million ounces of silver. So we think that this deposit type, first of all, VMS, we think is a sort of an overlooked deposit type. And so we're very excited, from that standpoint. We think there's a lot of opportunities out there in the market. But in particular, we think, you know, given where we are, where, you know, the defense industrial base, AI, the energy transition are all pushing the base metals opportunity, and we think there's a tremendous tailwind there. But given also that we see, you know, really a historic opportunity in precious metals, we think that a polymetallic deposit style that gives you access to both the precious metals, and the base metals is about as exciting an opportunity as you can get.
Good afternoon, Juan Carlos. How are you?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
Doing really well. To all my viewers and listeners, today I have Juan Carlos Giron with Canstar Resources. So Juan, tell me, give me a 30,000 foot view here of the company, where you're at, and you're an exploration company, what you're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. So Canstar Resources is a TSXV-listed, North America-focused mineral exploration firm. We're currently focused on exploring the Buchans District in central Newfoundland. This is a very special district that produced five of the highest graded deposits of all time. We think the district is very underexplored. Newfoundland is consistently a top 10 ranked jurisdiction by the Fraser Institute. We've put together what we think is the optimal foundation for exploration success, non-dilutive capital, the top scientists in the world to include Dr. Harold Gibson, a leading global VMS expert, outstanding corporate governance, and of course, excellent geology. We're very much a tech forward company, and we have a partnership with Terra AI out of Silicon Valley. We announced a joint venture with a number of Osisko veterans, including John Brzezinski, earlier this year. And we've been advancing our two VMS projects in Newfoundland aggressively since then, preparing to drill in the spring. The commodities that we're primarily exposed to there are gold, silver, and copper.
Gold, silver, and copper. Got it. Now, tell me a little bit about how did you pick up this property and how much?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So I began my career in offshore banking. I was at UBS, the Swiss multinational firm, for about 10 years. I found a passion for building and was able to assist some clients in their venture-backed activities, and sort of got exposed to the mining sector by accident. I joined the founder and executive chairman of a venture-backed water technology company that had clients in the mining sector. Long and short of it is, once I was exposed to the mining sector, and this is about 6 years ago, it became very clear to me that the sector was going to become much more strategically relevant than it had been in the past. I think we're already seeing the beginning of the next major super cycle in metals. And so I think it's a very exciting time for the industry. We put a group together in the summer of 2023. We began aggressively screening opportunities to invest in the sector and to build something special. We were introduced to Canstar Resources through our relationship with Altius Minerals, which is one of the largest shareholders of Canstar. Dr. Lawrence Winter has become a friend and is one of the members of our advisory board. And we had an opportunity. Rob Bruggeman, the CEO of Canstar, was looking to transition to focus more on Abra Silver. He's essentially the founder there. He's had a tremendous amount of success. Hit it off with them, hit it off with their board. And so we recapitalized the company in January of 2024. I joined as the CEO. We've rebuilt the team. We've brought in some additional board members and advisors. And we've executed this $11.5 million joint venture that I mentioned. And we've been exploring ever since. So, I think like anything in life, it's sort of following your nose and having good relationships and making sure that you do your diligence.
Yeah. So about the team, you really put together an all-star team. But I don't really want to focus on that. I want to focus on what do you have, or how much land do you have, and what's around you. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Canstar has three projects in Newfoundland. The first property is the Golden Bay property. This is about 430 square kilometers of land, almost entirely contiguous, 90 kilometers of strike on the Day Cove Thrust. This is a really interesting project. This is the same structural setting, the same structural context, if you will, as the freshly christened 5 million ounce Valentine Lake gold mine owned by Equinox Gold. That's on the island there. It's the same structural context as Newfound Gold's property. And 90 kilometers of strike actually exceeds both of those properties in terms of the scale of the opportunity that we have access to. We have over 400 bedrock samples grading over a gram per ton, over 100 grading over 10 grams per ton. We have high-grade antimony hits there as well. The two properties that we're most focused on right now, as much as I love the Golden Bay property, are even more compelling in our view. These are two projects in the Buchans District. We have there about 150 square kilometers of land. The Buchans District is a very famous and storied district. It's known for being mined by ASARCO from the 1920s to the 1980s and producing five VMS deposits, volcanogenic massive sulfide. These are polymetallic deposits that are considered the highest grade deposits ever mined. And that sounds a little hyperbolic, but I can assure you it's not. We're talking over 20% base metals content by volume. In total, these five deposits yielded about 16 million tons. In addition to the copper, the zinc, and the lead, these deposits also produced about 700,000 ounces of gold and over 60 million ounces of silver. So we think that this deposit type, first of all, VMS, we think is a sort of an overlooked deposit type. And so we're very excited, from that standpoint. We think there's a lot of opportunities out there in the market. But in particular, we think, given where we are, where, the defense industrial base, AI, the energy transition are all pushing the base metals opportunity, and we think there's a tremendous tailwind there. But given also that we see, really a historic opportunity in precious metals, we think that a polymetallic deposit style that gives you access to both the precious metals, pardon, and the base metals is about as exciting an opportunity as you can get. I can get a little bit more, do a deeper dive on the VMS projects there if you'd like. But one thing that I would emphasize is really the quality of the joint venture partner that we have there and how we've structured our approach to bring in $11.5 million at the project level. That's not dilutive to our corporate shareholders, and at the same time, bringing in an expert like Dr. Harold Gibson, who's published over 100 peer-reviewed papers on VMS deposits and volcanology. So you see the foundation that we've built here and the opportunity. We're very excited.
Yeah, well, before we get to the VMS deposit, talk a little bit about, or let us, me and my listeners know, really, what's the goal? What's the goal and the plan, and what do you envision this to be? And then talk about that, and then talk to me about infrastructure, what's around you, and then talk to me why Newfoundland is such a key, great jurisdiction to mine in.
Yeah, the goal is really simple. It's to build a valuable company, to build a very valuable company. And the strategy is really focused on discovery and consolidation. We think there's a historic opportunity in the mining sector right now. And that's there's a window right now to acquire and build out a project portfolio over the next few years that we think can be very special. Obviously, we've done a lot of the foundation work right now, and we think our current projects provide us with an opportunity to make a tier one discovery, and that's what it's all about, as you know. I think there's a certain sort of a set of checklists that you've got to go through before you get into an exploration opportunity. Jurisdiction, which I'll get into in a second, is obviously critical. That's kind of where you start. You need to have the right regulatory environment. You need to have the right geology. You need to have the right access and sort of, cultural and community connections. And we do have that in spades in Newfoundland. And you also have to have geology that's capable of yielding a tier one deposit. And as I've mentioned, you're talking about a district that's yielded the highest grade deposits of all time. We think we have that in spades. Newfoundland is an outstanding jurisdiction for a few reasons. It's consistently top 10 ranked by the Fraser Institute, as I mentioned. But this is a jurisdiction where you have a highly trained, accessible workforce. There's no shortage of individuals on the island who are familiar with the mining sector and friendly to the mining sector. In fact, the natural resource sector has traditionally been very important to Newfoundland since the cod fisheries collapsed in the 80s. In addition to that, the regulatory environment is very supportive of mining. So, to give you an example, a drill permit, typically you would expect to get that in 6 to 8 weeks. So it's, it's obviously, radically different, and we think far superior to most jurisdictions out there. And the third thing that I would say is our relationship with Altius Minerals, which has been absolutely critical for us. Dr. Lawrence Winter, PhD, one of the smartest technical and business-minded mining professionals that I know, is a member of our advisory board. As I mentioned, he's become a friend. And this is a jurisdiction where, Altius Minerals, St. John's based, having them as one of our largest shareholders, having them as advisors, makes a big difference for us and our success on the island.
Okay. So, and I want to talk about the geology and just to go deeper dive in that in just a second. There's a saying that rocks are what they are, meaning that you want, that's probably number one on my list. I learned that from Michael Gentile. Jurisdiction number two, or we'll say that's 1B jurisdiction. But talk about really the investors that you have, because then it's like it comes down to the team. Talk, work that a little bit about out for me, if you would, and then yeah, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, look, we're really built differently than most of our peers, and that's really by design. And I think it's one of our most important differentiators and one of the things that's really set us up for success. So, our lead investor is a gentleman named J. Paul Austin, based in Atlanta, Georgia. J. Paul Austin's grandfather was famous for building the Coca-Cola company, essentially from a $600 million company to a $6 billion global force. And he has a very strong background in finance. He started his career at Goldman Sachs. He's a partner at a billion-dollar plus quant fund. So, we have strong capital connections, we have strong capital access, and very strong governance. My background coming from finance, I think when you look at the way that our team's built, one of the differentiators that I haven't mentioned yet is the relationships that we have with the global and especially the US national security community. We've seen for the first time in the last couple of years tens of billions of dollars being spent by the US government on securing the supply chain for critical minerals. Our background is sort of set to tie directly into that. In fact, I was just a panelist at a defense tech conference in Washington, DC. So if you look at our board of directors, Nyla Beth Gavel is DC based. She was a vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton, which is kind of the US public sector top management consulting firm. She was the head of public sector strategy at Verizon, SAIC, massive defense tech company, Fortune 500 in the US. My CFO, Will Upshur, was a counterinsurgency strategist and did his master's degree in Washington, DC at the Johns Hopkins University, has finance degrees from Harvard. We also added Dr. David Kilcullen to our advisory board in 2024. He was a chief strategist for the US Department of State, and his wife was actually the Undersecretary of the Navy under President Obama. So, you kind of look from a strategic standpoint. I think our focus has always been trying to bring the best of mining, combine that with the best from outside of mining, and together sort of build a company that is strategically focused, very focused on dilution management and efficient capital management, and at the same time brings in the top scientists in the world. So you look at our geological credentials. We have a Dr. Jackie Allison on our board, has a PhD from McGill University. We have Neil Burns, who's the Vice President of Corporate Development at Wheaton Precious Metals. He's a member of our board. He's also the number two tenured person at Wheaton, and is really just beginning the prime of his career. When you look at our technical team, again, we have Dr. Harold Gibson really anchoring the technical strategy at our VMS projects. But we've also built out an advisory board that enhances the internal technical credentials that we have. So Dr. Stephen Piercy is an advisor. He's a full tenured professor at Memorial University in Newfoundland. Overall, as I mentioned, it's the best of mining, the best from outside of mining. But it's really focused on bringing in the top tier technical expertise, which I think is sort of the place that you have to begin for success in this industry.
Yeah, Juan Carlos, give me a moment. Let me talk to all of my viewers and listeners. So, to all my viewers and listeners, full disclosure, as of right now, the video, as this video will be dropping, I am not yet an investor, but that doesn't mean I won't be in the near future. I will like to say I'm more than likely be in the near future. Also, I am friendly with J. Paul Austin. I've done some consulting with him on some different projects related to mining. But what really gets me, there's two things that get me here, and I want to get to this in a second one, Juan Carlos, is just the rocks are the rocks. And I'd like to work that a little bit out to you. But another thing that you look at to all my viewers and listeners is the team that is built around the rocks, if you would, which is exceptional in my mind, not investment advice. Juan, let's talk a little bit about the rocks, take a little deeper dive in there. Give me some grades, or what do you think you have? Is this at surface level, or is this how far down are you going to drill?
That's a great question. Yeah. So I mentioned the Buchans District and why it's special, having produced the five highest graded VMS deposits of all time. Again, 20% base metal content, substantial gold and silver exposure as well. We have two projects in that district. And so I'll just touch on each of those projects individually to give you a better sense of the geology and the opportunity. So one of our projects we call the Buchans Project. It is literally right in the heart of the historic Buchans District. The five deposits that were mined by ASARCO basically are immediately adjacent to our property boundary and right on the edge. The opportunity at Buchans is special, and it's a depth. Hans Lundberg, when he made the Buchans discovery, this was an outcropping mineralization that was found, basically in a stream. And the old timers, recognized obviously the opportunity, and they really chased the veins down. But of course, not benefiting from modern geophysics, we think there's a lot of opportunity at depth directly in and around the historic Buchans camp. And we have some really compelling geophysics surveys that show, multi-kilometer untested conductor anomalies. These conductor anomalies are consistent with the kind of anomalism that you see in and around the deposits that were mined by ASARCO. And having put together sort of the data compilation, the geological modeling for this district, I think one of the things that you see is that the old timers, basically missed and did not test whatsoever those anomalies. There is one drill hole that we found in the Buchans camp from the late 1970s that does appear to have intersected the conductor anomaly. The logs there are fairly old, but they essentially read, over 100 feet of quote intense alteration. So we think that's a really exciting opportunity. Obviously, being at greater depths there, we're talking 600 to 900 meters. Generally speaking, you really need exceptional grades to make a project like that compelling. Fortunately, here we have very exceptional grades. The second project, and this is really the one that we find the most compelling, is the Mary March project. And there's a couple of groups that are exploring in and around the Buchans area. I think the Mary March project is really what differentiates Canstar, and makes the opportunity really special and really exciting. So Mary March is about 25 kilometers east of the Buchans camp. We believe it's Buchans stratigraphy. We believe it's the same. We believe these are the same rocks, so to speak, as you like to put it. The Buchans camp, one of the things that's really striking about the historic Buchans camp itself is the size and scale of the alteration zone. The alteration zone is associated with these hydrothermal systems that produce VMS deposits. What you have at Mary March, which is a 122 square kilometer project and growing, I should say, is an alteration zone that is the same scale and size as the alteration zone in Buchan. So right there, that starts to look very interesting. Second of all, we have a discovery hole there. This is a historic discovery hole that produced over 10 meters of massive sulfide, grading about 15% base metal content, with 4 grams per ton gold and 122 grams per ton silver. So alteration zone matches the Buchans district. Geology stratigraphy matches the Buchans camp, and proven that this land hosts that high-grade mineralization. We have multiple untested shallow IP anomalies on that project. And again, you look at the Buchans opportunity, that's a depth. We like that. To give you a sense, in the Mary March project, that discovery hole has a vertical depth of 250 meters. So it's much shallower, means more efficient drilling. And in addition to that, the property at Mary March, when we look at the historical drill core there, and I should also notice, or should also note, The Buckens camp itself, because it has been, heavily explored, although again not at depth, it has, there's about 400,000 meters of drill core that you could ascribe to the Buckens camp itself. Mary March, which is a larger property, only has 21,000 meters approximately of historic drill core. As we've gone through that drill core, we have found gold grades that tend to be higher than what you see in the historic Buckens camp, so that's exciting for us. And finally, just to touch on the project a little bit there, which again has been led by Dr. Harold Gibson, the project has advanced really well. We have multiple drill targets there that that we're working on refining, working on combining with Terra AI's machine learning technology to advance the drilling this spring. But I should just note that the preliminary early results, and that is what these are. These are preliminary and early results prior to drilling from the trenching there, are indicating the potential for very high grade mineralization. So we're seeing copper grades 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%, including copper grades that were identified with portable XRF scannings. These are readings that came directly from some of the trenches that we excavated earlier this fall. So I think a lot of things coming together there. Super excited and happy to get into and provide greater detail, but hopefully that gives you a little bit of a summary.
Yeah. So let me talk to all my viewers and listeners. So you want how I construct my portfolio is three different buckets. First bucket is explorers. Second bucket is developers here. Third bucket is producers. What I look for is within explorers, I look for several things and just pertaining to you, if you would. I want to see an exploration company that has potentially is drilling in a tier one that has a tier one asset. And that's how what I see as the opportunity, what makes, I guess, a cherry on top. I really like that this is. This has more of a as a polymetallic play, if you would. So there's a lot of different metal that you can take out of that, and it's not just a gold play, it's just not a silver play. I really find the copper play interesting as well. So just note that I'm going to ask you this, Juan Carlos, here in just a second, but I also always want to know why is a stock so cheap? I want to know that. And the best answer, and I'm not going to answer this for you, is that, well, it hasn't been marketed, it hasn't been discussed yet, and it hasn't been found out. And that's really to all my viewers and listeners, that's another icing, if you would, on the cake, is you want to get in early. Full disclosure, I have not bought now, and it's not fair to my viewers and listeners to buy anything before a video drops. If and when I do buy, it will be well after this video does drop, as I see deep value here. Juan Carlos, what I'd like you to talk a little bit more is just about the infrastructure you have around you. That's very important, so you don't have to do a huge build out if and when this becomes a mine. Talk to me a little bit about that.
That's a great question. Yeah. So what we see in the Buckens District is some of the cheapest drilling costs per meter anywhere in Canada. Generally, $200, maybe $250 Canadian per meter is what you'd expect for a drill program there. Keep in mind that with the christening and the first gold pour at the Valentine Lake Gold Mine, you have a workforce there that's primed. You have plenty of drill rigs and access. Newfoundland is very interesting. You have essentially the Trans-Canada Highway that sort of circumnavigates the island, if you will. We're located right in central Newfoundland and right near our Mary March project, in fact, is right near a small town called Millertown. So excellent access. I've been there 5, 6 times in the last 12 months, was just there this summer. It's you can drive right out to the area directly there where that discovery hole that I mentioned at Mary March was made.
So you don't have to build any new roads, and you don't have to build any new power plant, power lines, anything like that, correct?
All the infrastructure is there. And I should also mention that, the entire town of Buckens in Newfoundland, which is the other town that's right there. Basically, we're on kind of either side of the lake there. It's called the Beothuk Lake there in central Newfoundland. Millertown being on the south, Buckens being on the north. The entire town of Buckens was developed because of the Buckens mines that ASARCO worked. And so it's essentially a brownfield site. The old mill is still standing there. Certainly, if you wanted to sort of put that back into action, you'd have to do some work there.
Tell
But
me
yeah,
about the
excellent
mill.
access. What's
Tell me
that?
about the mill. Tell me about the mill. So let's say you're taking metal out of the ground. Where are you shipping it? Where are you railing it? Whatever, you can process that on site or nearby. Tell me about that.
Yeah, look, I mean, I bring up the mill, which we don't own, by the way, but I bring up the mill just to say that this is an area that still has a lot of the old infrastructure left from the previous mines. So, from a standpoint of, having to do more development there, You're not going to run into issues related to disturbing the environment that you might find in other places. There's still a lot of that old infrastructure there. In terms of logistically, exactly how we would, I think we're probably a little bit early to
Early.
sort of provide,
I want to
detailed
know
plans
if
on
there's a
that.
mill
But there's
there.
no concerns for us. I also just this is related to the infrastructure. Flotation was really refined in the Buchans District specifically for this ore type. So that's another benefit that we have is sort of, decades of proven metallurgy. But
Got it.
pardon to interrupt you there.
No, I got it. I just want to make sure that when you're sending metal, where is it getting processed and you have access to a mill? Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Let's talk about share structure here. Tell me, and cash in the bank. How much cash do you have in the bank? And to all my viewers and listeners, this is another box I want to check. Is I want it a project to be, you can have the greatest project in the world with great rocks. You can have a great team, but I want to make sure they're funded or they're funded really going into the next drill program here. So tell me about that and tell me how many shares do you have outstanding fully diluted?
So when we refinanced Canstar and undertook the strategic pivot, Canstar had about 140 million shares outstanding. Currently, we have just under 200 million shares outstanding. Touching on how much cash we have, so we did just close in October. We closed about a $1.1 million financing. That was about 90% institutional. The majority of that capital came from one particular well-known mining fund, essentially. Good access to capital, well-funded. In terms of capital committed to the projects, it's important to then reference this joint venture that we have on the Mary March projects and the Buchans projects. That's
Please.
$11.5 million coming in 3 phases. The first phase is almost completely done. That is a $1.5 million commitment. The next phase that we're entering into from a timeline standpoint is $4 million. So you look at the capital that we've raised in our recent private placement, you look at the capital that's been committed from the joint venture. I think we're very well funded. But importantly, and I think what differentiates Canstar, we're funded in a way that really manages dilution effectively. If you look at the history of how we financed the company, we refinanced the company at just around 3 cents. When we did that financing, we issued a number of warrants. Those warrants were at 5 cents. All of those warrants, 100% of those warrants, were exercised. That provided another source of capital. We've brought in the non-dilutive capital from our joint venture partner, and then we've worked on, and we just recently closed this financing at about 6.5 cents. So you can see that our strategy has been to consistently finance at higher and higher valuations. We don't raise more than we need. I like to also say, as the CEO of the company, I make $11,000 a month. So that's part of what I think speaks to our ability to be well funded is to maintain strong capital efficiency and make sure that we're maximizing the dollars that are going into the ground.
Okay. So to all my viewers and listeners, just so you know, I had lunch with John Carlos yesterday, and I'm sorry, I called you John Juan Carlos yesterday. I apologize about
English translation, that's no problem.
that. And that was really one of my biggest questions and boxes is how much money you have and what position are you take or how do you see the shareholders? And I think you answered that for me then, and you answered that for us now. Probably my biggest fear as an investor is that I'm financing a lifestyle company, and that is not the I came away from our luncheon the other day as that is not the case here. So, but to all my viewers and listeners, do your own due diligence. This is not financial advice here. So, wrapping up here, what is the plan going into the first quarter? Take me to the first and second quarter of 26 here, and will people, investors, potential investors see a news coming out over the next 6 to 7 months.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got excellent news flow over the next 6 to 7 months. One thing I did neglect to mention in answer to your last question is management and insider exposure to the company. For us, that's always been a really critical metric. It's about 23%. So, I'd say that sort of compares very favorably to our peers, and it really demonstrates that we have skin in the game and we're focused on one thing, which is creating a valuable company and building a valuable company. As I mentioned, we announced this joint venture with the former Osisko veterans earlier this year. We've been aggressively exploring the district ever since. We have done the data compilation. We've done the drill core mapping. Obviously, that's going to continue to be an ongoing process. We've done new geophysics programs. We have two geophysics programs that'll be undertaken this winter. All of that's going into the comprehensive model. We're working with Terra AI. I haven't really discussed Terra AI much, but we're super excited for this partnership. I think that, and I've said this before, I think AI is something that suffers from the way that it's marketed. Sometimes it's marketed as a silver bullet, and we all know that there are no silver bullets. At the same time, there's a certain sense in which exploration is fundamentally the allocation of capital to the collection and the interpretation of data. And there's no question that if you can take these vast data sets, fuse them together, map uncertainty more effectively, do probabilistic modeling versus the linear modeling that's been the standard in the industry for so long, and I would argue is still the standard, that you can get a really strong competitive edge. You can drill more efficiently and more effectively. So Terra AI, again, I know there's a few AI companies out there. We think this is the top group. They're based in Silicon Valley. The founders are both Stanford PhDs. They're backed by Khosla Venture, which is a multi-billion dollar tier one venture capital firm out of Menlo Park, California, right in the heart of Silicon Valley. So a big differentiator for us as well. So we are working with Terra AI. We've announced, in fact, I would absolutely encourage your listeners, if they're interested in the company, to look over our recent news releases. You can see how we've continued to consolidate the district. They can see the results from our trenching program, the preliminary results there. And they can also get an overview with some maps of the specific targets that we're exploring. As these targets continue to be refined and geologically constrained, we will launch our inaugural drill program in the basically at the opening of the exploration season in Newfoundland. So I'm super excited for that. And then as the quarter continues, sorry, as the year continues in 2026, and we continue to advance the Mary March program, there's some strategic opportunities that your listeners should be on the lookout for, opportunities for consolidation, increasing our scale and increasing our access to capital. So we're super excited. We've been, I think this is worth saying, our focus and our strategy has always been to do things the right way, to take our time to do things systematically. I think you see too many projects out there that are good projects that end up not being successful because maybe there's premature drilling, people jump the gun a bit. I think we've done exactly the opposite. So, what's great, I think, for your listeners, Andy, and obviously I'm, quite biased here, is that really we've laid the foundation. We've done the work over the last 18 months or so, and this is, we think, the most exciting time in the history of the company. So it's a great time to start to get familiar with the story.
Okay, so to all my viewers and listeners, what Juan Carlos just said, he told me that as well as Paul Austin, I'll name drop him as well. We had a luncheon yesterday, and the conversation we ended the conversation with, we want to build it the right way. We want to provide the best share value for our shareholders here, and that just meant so much to me. Not only telling me that, but then just laying out all of the plans, and in my mind, they're setting the foundation, or they have the foundation set for doing exactly that, as well as they have a war chest here for an exploration company, which is critical to get the rocks are the rocks, and it seems like you are in a great spot for great rocks, but financing is important to get the rocks out. Juan Carlos, give me your website so people can read more about you, and give me your the exchanges that you're traded on and your ticker symbols.
Absolutely, yeah. So canstarresources.com is our website. Certainly I'd encourage your viewers to look at our investor deck there that gives a little bit more detail on our strategy, on our property, our properties, I should say, and our team. We are principally traded on the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture Exchange. Our ticker is a great one. It's ROX, ROX, easy to remember. We are also quoted on the OTC ID, and that is C as in Canstar, S as in Sam, R, N as in Nancy, F, CSRNF. We're also on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Excellent. Juan Carlos, I will put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and the Apple Podcast. I want to thank you so much for your time. I'd love to get you on in the new year, and we can talk about the developments as they are happening. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to keeping you and your readers, or listeners, apprised. Thanks, Andy.
You bet.